Hey, we're going to go into the Word, and I have a message today, and I almost brought it back a few weeks ago, and then I didn't, and then I actually went in today's Flag Day, and I was going to go in a completely different direction, and then it was yesterday afternoon, I really decided this is where we're going to go, and so I believe it'll minister to you and help you. I put a little tease on social media yesterday for folks to have you to tune in and really hear the word of the Lord. Let me begin. We're going to go in the book of Proverbs chapter 18 in a moment, but let me, before we do, I want to begin by just asking how many of you and I have ever gone through a season or had a moment with someone where it wasn't just an argument, it wasn't just they said something that upset you, but it was one of those things, they said something and it kind of destroyed you. It set you back a little bit. Maybe it even ended a relationship. It caused you to look at them differently. Now when you see them in Walmart, you go the other way. Or when you have Thanksgiving dinner, you sit at the opposite end of the table as to not sit near them. You know, I know none of us ever do these things, right? I must be the only one. But we often have these interactions with people, and sometimes we'll get crushed through it. Sometimes they'll just be gut-wrenching. They'll feel like they rip our hearts out. Even our children sometimes can say things that will rip your heart out and feels like it's being fed back to you. You know, people in our family, sometimes even church people are really good at one thing, and I don't want to get ahead of myself, but I won't necessarily say that they're two-faced because I'm talking about us. But I will say that what we're really good at in the church is putting up walls till we just pretend you don't even exist. And we do that in our families too. We do it at work. And it all comes back to something. It's more than being offended. It's even more than getting your feelings hurt. Harley and Geneva can have a fight and Harley can say, "You hurt my feelings," right? But sometimes it goes deeper than having your feelings hurt. Having your feelings hurt is sort of something that, you know, after a while, if you've ever been in one of those relationships where it's so verbal, you know it's more than feelings. It gets to the point where you look at them like, and it's not the love of Jesus either that you're feeling. You know, it's not that feeling or emotion at all. It's something else, and we become wounded. And deeply wounded, and I really believe we need to deal with that. I believe this is really a message I think our nation could use. As we watch the news and people are tweeting and people are sounding on all sides of every issue and everything, even in our communities, I really believe this is a word that our nation needs so that we need healing. And so I want us to go in the Word of God in the book of Proverbs. I'm really just going to use one verse to begin with today, and we'll look at a few, but one verse to begin with, and it's Proverbs chapter 18. And I believe this is a word that if you'll let it, it will heal you, it will help you, it will change you, if you will let it. It's that kind of a word today, and it will bless you. Proverbs 18, verse 14. And I'm probably going to read it out of two different translations just to give you a full understanding. Look what it says. It says, "The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear?" The spirit of a man will sustain his infirmity, but a wounded spirit who can bear? The Message version puts it like this. It says, "A healthy spirit conquers adversity." But what can you do when your spirit is crushed? A healthy spirit conquers adversity. But what can you do when your spirit is crushed? So we're going to use this today to go into the depths. And as I said, I'm not talking to you just about getting your feelings hurt. I'm talking to you about something that's much more than that, much deeper than that. It's more than just getting our feelings hurt by something that someone does or says. I've shared a story before, and it happened in church. Some of you probably even would know the person if I would mention them. And the person said they went back to a church that they hadn't been to in a while, and they walked in, and a sister in the church looked at them and said, "Hey, brother, boy, you're getting fat." You know, how many of you know somebody that's kind of like that? Let's just tell you. And he said he just paused for a moment, and he thought, well, boy, what a welcome. You know, glad to be to my home church, you know. And he said, he just paused and he said, all of a sudden I just said, yes, but I can lose weight, but ugly, it's forever. And he just walked on. I'm talking about those things that people can say or do, and not just words, but sometimes actions that go so deep that they'll wound you and I and cause us to be different for a long time. Cause you and I to treat people differently, act differently. We go into other relationships and friendships and churches and family functions with a different perspective and totally different expectations than what we used to. How many of you ever get together with family and you're just bracing for impact? Meaning you're bracing for the next blow up. You know, we must have the only dysfunctional family. I mean, we must be the only one because you all look like you don't have any issues. Like you all don't scream, fight, yell outside your house, chasing one another, you know, none of those things. You know, I've been to a few people's houses when that's happening, breaking up the fight, pulling the keys out of somebody's head, you know, or taking the pitchfork out of the son's hand, chasing his dad, you know. Yeah, those are church people, folks. Saved, sanctified, Holy Ghost filled. Because see, church people, we got issues. Can we just acknowledge that we all have issues? Our families aren't perfect. We can look cute. We can wear a nice suit or jeans or whatever it is that we wear, and we can cover everything up. But the truth of the matter is, under all of us, and whatever thing we've got on or whatever cute face you paint on today, we have issues, and we have wounds, and we have problems, and things that we often don't like to talk about. And we'll get uncomfortable sometimes in church when people start breaking it down and being real about it. But the truth of the matter is we become something that we don't even recognize later in life when we never deal with it. And so I believe that God wants us to deal with it. Because, see, my belief is that a wounded spirit, and that's what we're speaking of today, a wounded spirit is something that goes down into to the depths of our soul, the core of our very being, makes us even more susceptible. And what I've found is that when you and I get wounded by something or someone, it will affect every area of your life. Someone in your extended family can wound you, but it'll affect your immediate relationships. A parent can wound you, but it'll affect your romantic relationships. Or a spouse can wound you, and it'll affect everyone else around you. I remember growing up in church, some of you probably do too. People would tell you something, or you would go through a situation, a problem, a circumstance, and people in the church used to say, just pray through. I remember the ladies with the little beehive haircuts, you know? How many of you remember? The Holy Ghost-filled women, you know, they'd jump and dance around. And they'd say, oh, you just need to pray through, Adam. But I don't know about you, but growing up, not that it wasn't great advice and teaching us to pray, but I've learned that there are some things that you just can't pray through. If we'd really be honest, there are times and things that we go through where you can pray until your eyes and mouth bleed, and yet nothing has changed. And that doesn't mean that God didn't hear. It doesn't mean that God doesn't want to do anything. It just means that's not the way. That prayer does change things, but I've learned that there are also instructions in the Word of God where God gives us that there are answers that come other ways. There are times that we have to be obedient to His Word in all ways. And what I've found, what I've used prayer for, to be honest with you, Pearl, is at times I've used prayer as a means for me to say, God, you need to do this because I don't want to. Meaning, God, if you will just fix this relationship with this person, that means I don't ever have to address any unforgiveness on my behalf. I never even have to acknowledge that I did anything wrong. I've watched us use God at times in ways like that, where we use God and it means as our scapegoat. God, get me out of this. God, fix this. God, abracadabra, make it better. And then as long as God, you intervene, I'll give you the glory, and then I look clean. I look like I never did anything wrong. And there's a depth to this that I want to get to. How many of you remember when you were young? And maybe some of you still say it. Probably Lois still says it. Sticks and stones may break my bones. All right. That's a lie. That's a lie. I've counseled too many people to know that's a lie. When the husband calls his wife a name over and over again, it would take me 10 years to get that mess unwound. When a wife calls her husband a name over and over again. Right? When we're being abused as a child and someone is saying something over us while they're beating the tar out of you. Those are things that get embedded in you and wound you. And there'll be some of us that we think that we're just more spiritual than the rest. And you're probably more spiritual than me. And it doesn't affect you and your relationships. And you think, oh, I'm good. I'm good. But the truth of the matter is you're not at all who you used to be. That we've changed who we are. We sort of carry around a wall wherever we go. You don't have to worry about us building a wall around you like our nation's doing. You just carry one with you. And so you only let in who you choose and how you choose, and you're very cautious and all of those things. I remember there have been times in my life where it's better for me to sneak in late and leave early. That way I can control who I interact with. Church people are real good at that. If they're mad at somebody and they don't want to have to deal with the greeters and the preacher and all of that, they'll just sneak right in the back door about the third song. And then while the closing song's happening, they'll just exit. They're out of the parking lot before anybody else. I know that. I invented it. I'm the one that started it, I think. Right? Even as a preacher, I've done that. There have been times I've been angry, and I'll get into depths of it, but there's been times I've been angry even preaching, and I've closed the service, had someone else pray, left my office, and been in my car and out the door before you all ever said amen to avoid people. Because, see, we're human. You know, when you stop at someone's house to drop something off and you know, well, if I go now, they're not home yet. Or if I wait, I'll miss them. Those sort of things. The purpose of this message is because I believe Jesus wants to heal us in our wounds. How many of you know this scripture? As soon as I started, I want you to finish it. A merry heart. Anybody? A merry heart does good. I know Mom knows this scripture. Lois, a merry heart does good like a medicine. And so many people quote it, but I see people, they put it on Facebook. Merry heart does good like a medicine, but guess what? The scripture doesn't end there. But a broken spirit drieth up the bones. A merry heart does good like a medicine, but a broken spirit will dry up the bones. Meaning that the stuff that sometimes we go through and carry and things people say and things people do to us, it literally is like a disease to us. Causes issues in our own bodies. So God wants you and I to have a merry heart because it does good like a medicine. I've shared this story at times with folks, and I remember several years ago I was asked to go to dinner, and I'm going to move quickly. I was asked to go to dinner and picked up, went to dinner, had a great time, was sitting there. I remember I was sitting at Smoky Bones. If you've never been to Smoky Bones, hallelujah, you've missed heaven. Some of the greatest barbecue. I mean, you know, I won't get into the details, but it's messy. You know, you just got to dig right in there with your hands. We were sitting there at Smoky Bones in Greensburg with a couple from the church who said, we just want to take you and bless you at dinner. Okay. And we went through dinner and we was getting ready to eat dessert. And I remember looking across the table, and it was as if everything in the atmosphere changed. And I could see something was about to happen that wasn't good. And suddenly the guy who we were with eating began to hurl words from his mouth that I couldn't believe. Say things to me and about church and about ministry and about me and about everything we are doing that just, it was sort of the kind of stuff that if anyone's ever talked to you in a manner, it was like it was cutting you as they were saying it. It was literally like, you know, over and over they were stabbing me with a knife. And I remember my wife was sitting next to me on the left. And as the time went gone, like, you know, she was squeezing my leg like, you get us out of here. And it got so bad, you know, it got so bad at one point, I didn't know whether I was going to jump across the table, cry, or just explode. And then just like that, he started laughing again, talking normal. A few minutes later, it happened again. Anyways, by the end of the night, I remember that my wife and I were both pretty ill, but she was exceptionally ill, so much so that it affected her to the degree that I had to help her out of the restaurant that night. She was struggling to even walk, that it had wounded her that badly. She was affected that badly. Some of you might be able to identify what I'm saying, that when people say things or do things to you, that it will mess with you to the degree you feel beaten, you feel bruised, and you know nobody ever even took a swing at you, but you feel almost bruised like that. That sometimes we go through things like that. I've gone through situations like that. Even in my own life, I've preached messages after, that was on a Saturday night, that next morning I got in the church and preached, and it was not good. I allowed everything that they said to me affect me to the degree that I started exploding almost on people. I remember we closed early. I think I preached 15 minutes. That's probably my record right there. We closed early. I left the service the next Sunday. It was the same way. It had gotten to me. And it was back whenever that happened to me, and I realized, Adam, if you don't do something, in a few months, there'll be nobody left in church. That's when I began to learn the power of what it is to be wounded and how you and I get affected by the wounds of what other people do to us. Dumping sometimes our hatred and our anger. And so a lot of times as church people, we don't maybe use drugs or we're not into this or that, but one of the things that I mentioned earlier that we are really good at, especially in the church, is hardness. We just get hard-hearted. We stop caring. I've had other churches and Christians ask us why we do all the outreach that we do. A lady came and visited us this week and said she was a part of a ministry that was here years and years ago. And she said, you know, we tried to reach the community, but we just, I don't know. Just, I don't know. Hardness. We get wounded and we become hard. How many of you know what I'm talking about? Let's be honest. We get hard-hearted. Someone wounds you enough and over again. Eventually, you just... They can buy you great things and be nice to you, and you're just hard. You're unmoved. Right? All of those things. We just become hard, and we have perfected that in the church, that's for sure. How do you know you're hard? It's when you go to Walmart and you see someone that you know you don't want to talk to and you look and go the other way. When you come to church and you walk in the back door and instead of having to deal with them there, you just kind of turn and see if I'm on the platform and come this way and go all the way around. It's when you go out that door and walk the whole way around the building to avoid them. Oh yeah, those things happen in church. It's when we get together for a family reunion or something, and we do everything we can to not make eye contact, to avoid them, to stay busy, to do anything that we can because we're hard. Because we've been wounded. That's the evidence of it right there. And what I've learned about walls that we erect and the hardness that we get, what the problem is with that is that the problem is when you and I erect walls in our life, and we become hard like that, then the Holy Spirit, when he comes to flow through you and I through a church service or through a time of prayer, or even you can come up for prayer and you can have us lay hands and believe God and pray a prayer of faith. When you get in those moments, then when the Holy Spirit comes to try to move and flow through you, he can't. I've been in those moments where you feel like church is just numb. Anybody else ever been numb? I've been numb, and not just church, but relationships. Talking about romantic ones, you know. We just like, You don't give me butterflies no more. In fact, can you please find something to do? Your presence irritates me. Remember when your other presence used to, like, was amazing? Right? They were the best thing since squeezed butter. Now you're like, we're going to take separate vacations. Hallelujah. The Lord told me in church today. Hallelujah. We get hard. And then the Holy Spirit tries to move through us, and he can't. And he can't get through because the wall that we erected is the same channel which the Holy Spirit flows through. And God's trying to work in us and through us, and yet he can't because of our own hard hearts. Because we've not been healed. Because we've never been willing to let it go. And what this message is about is I've spent time with people in counseling and helped them through whatever traumas they've gone through, whether it's abuse or addiction or divorce or whatever it may be. But these steps, I'm telling you, they work, and they work every time if you will do it. It will work if you will do this even with me today. Before you leave this place, you will leave different. And let me just warn you now, you will be tested. I found out last night, just before like bedtime and I was about to go to sleep, I was tested for this very word. Just a little. You know, it's either before or after. I always sort of have to endure whatever it is I'm bringing forth, you know. And the Lord was like, now, Adam, remember what you're preaching tomorrow. And you'll understand as I give you the first step. Just before I do, I want to make this statement. I asked the Lord when I started experiencing this in my life years ago, I asked the Lord, well, what do I got to do, God? And his response was this, and I've kept it all these years, and some of you have seen me tweet it before. It says, the only thing that you can dump unlimited quantities of in your spirit, and it will only make you better, is forgiveness. This one, I said, the only thing, some of us have dumped a lot of things into our lives. Hallelujah. Come on, I know you all just act like you ain't one of them, but some of us have done a lot of things. And the Lord said this to me. He said, Adam, the only thing that you can dump unlimited quantities of in your spirit, and it will only make you better, is forgiveness. Which brings me to step one, forgive and release. Forgive and release. I remember after that husband and wife had us at dinner and pretty much disemboweled me, and after 2 weeks of like being angry from the pulpit and just spewing nastiness, and it wasn't even the word of God as far as I'm concerned, it was my wounds bleeding all over everyone. The Lord said, Adam, you have to forgive them. And you have to release them. And the Lord just reminded me to just declare and decree sometimes, Lord, I forgive them. Lord, I release them. And I release all this pain. Lord, I release all this resentment and all this hurt into your hands right now. And what I learned is I couldn't do that just once. It wasn't enough for me to say it just once. If you've ever been through something traumatic where, you know, growing up you saw or were a part of things, whether it was done to you or it was done to your mother and you had to break it up, and now you know, there's something in you that all of a sudden it's like a bomb went off and you'll go from 0 to 60, you might be good to use step one. I don't say that in judgment. I'm just saying it's an indicator that there's something bigger going on. I have this thing where I can take a lot, but then like that, I'll blow. You know, and it's not just a part of who I am. That's an excuse for behavior that I can't control. That's the truth.
See, I'm being honest. You all are looking like, this preacher, it must be bad. He's an awful man. See, we like to make excuses for our behavior and just saying, well, if you knew my mother, I'm Italian or I'm this. That's a lie. Those are excuses for our bad behavior that make us feel better about why and how we did it. That's all. And so if you and I have that tendency that we go from 0 to 60 in a matter of no time, we need to take advantage of step one and say, Lord, I just thank you today. Lord, I forgive him, or I forgive them, and I release them, oh God. And I release all the pain, and I release all the resentment and all the hurt into your hands right now. And then you wake up tomorrow and you do it again. And I mean it. And we're going to get to the step where you're going to know that you're better. Because just saying it isn't enough. Just saying it isn't enough. I mean, you've got to mean it. You and I have to get to the point where we are so tired of letting other people and what other people did control us, dictate our life, dictate our behavior, dictate where we go. I'm tired of not going to restaurants because I know there are people that go there after church every Sunday that do absolutely despise me. You know, church people. You and I have to get to the point we just say, I forgive them, I release them. I release all the resentment, all the pain, all the hurt into your hands right now, Jesus. And just do that over and over and over again. And I remember after that man and that woman like disemboweled my wife and I that night sitting at Smoky Bones in Greensburg. I just had to do that over and over again for days. And I remember, finally, it felt like one day that it was as if the hand of God reached in and took it. Took it just immediately. Somebody's having fun out there. And then as soon as I felt, it was as if the hand of God reached in to take all of that anger and that hurt and that pain and that resentment and that bitterness. And God says, now, Adam, let's go to step two. I'm like, really? I thought that was it. God said, nope, let's go to step two. Step two. This one's important. A lot of times when we talk about forgiveness, and which we don't like to in the church, because when we talk about forgiveness, it means there's something wrong with me. Now, you like to identify there's something wrong with you, right? We always point the finger at the other person. But step two is really important, because step two, God said, you need to ask God to forgive and not hold it against them. Watch this now. Step two is you and I asking God to forgive them and for God not to hold it against them. You say, no, what do you mean? Well, let's go to the Word of God in Acts chapter 7. And if you're taking notes, jot it down. You can look it up later. Acts chapter 7, it's really important. Verse 59. Oh, my, this is going to get good. He says, and they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And he kneeled down and cried with a loud voice, Lord, lay not this sin to their charge. And when he had said this, he fell asleep. Some of y'all wondering where your peace is. And the reason is maybe you've asked God to release you of the pain, but you've never asked God to not hold it against him. And so it's as if you and I wrestle with something all the time. Right in the midst, after the stoning of Stephen, he's saying, Lord, don't hold what they just did to me against them. Imagine the power behind those words. I want you and I all to realize right now and really think and comprehend in this moment of what it is or who it is or what situation it is you're thinking about right now. And some of you are thinking, that's just too much, preacher. You are asking too much of me. Like, I've been praying, God, get them. Because, God, your word does say, vengeance is mine, thus says the Lord, right? I've prayed that. Before this, I used to pray that, God, I thank you that you're healing me of my forgiveness. Now, Lord, I just trust that your word does say, vengeance is yours, thus says the Lord. God, do what you got to do. And I was wrong. I mean, that's not even scriptural, really. It was me manipulating scripture for my convenience, as we do so often. And really, the Bible says, no, Adam, step two. And there, some of you may think this is really too much for you. Well, hold on. That's just because you're not there yet. When you complete step one, you'll be ready for step two. You'll be able to then say, Lord, what they did to me, what they said about me, how they beat me, how they set me up, whatever it is that they did, Lord, don't hold it against them. My, my, my. Notice what Stephen said in the Word. He didn't say, I forgive them. He said, God, I'm asking you to forgive them. And Lord, don't make them pay for what they did to me. It's you and I basically asking God to wipe it off their record. I'd say that one's a little bit harder than the second step. There's an example of this, another example of it in the Word, when Jesus was hanging on the cross and Jesus says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Jesus was giving you and I the example of forgiveness right there. He was saying, it's not enough that you are forgiven. So many times we want God to forgive us, but we're not willing to say, God, I want you to forgive them. And that's the example that Jesus gave us. He says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. That's God saying to you and I that there are times that you and I need to be able to say and pray the same thing about others. That when they hurt you, when they disembowel you, when they wound you, when you and I, here we are, 40 or 50 years old or older, and we're still dealing with something that happened 50 years ago. And you can't tell me that we're not, because we're messed up like that. We carry that stuff, and then the devil's really good about keeping it in your memory. He's really good that you and I go through a season where we're doing really, really well and getting along great, and then all of a sudden, just out of nowhere, there they show up. And you were in a good place. You had moved on. How many of you know if you've ever had an ex, you were good, and then they got to text you out of the blue. What's up, honey? That's when you go up, click the three dots, and go block number. I've learned that some of my greatest peace is in blocking people. Hey, that doesn't mean that I haven't forgiven them. It doesn't mean I haven't said, Lord, forgive them and don't hold against them. Just because I forgive them doesn't mean I have to involve them in my life. Now, some people and the devil would want to whisper to you and tell you, no, that's not true. That's not real love. No, 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 no. There are some people that it is necessary to love from a distance. Because they're not being used of God, they're being used of the devil to disrupt your peace and your love and your joy and your peace and your patience and your kindness and your goodness and all of it. And I've learned that about people. I can love you in Jesus, and I bet I can love you from afar. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus, that there's distance, you know. Amen. We need to thank God that there's family that you and I can love from a distance. Praise God. There's a good example. When some of you and I think we're going to struggle with step two, think about this. There was a man that lost his daughter. She was murdered. And the murderer, after the trial was over and they'd been to jail, he found Jesus in jail. And the murderer finally came forward and confessed where her body was. They went through the entire trial and never knew, never found it. And so he confessed to where she was buried in a shallow grave. And the father, this is a true story, the father had to go with police and the murderer to dig up his daughter. Now, I want you to think about that. You mean we have to forgive and release that man and ask God not to make him pay for what he did? Think about that. some of us are trying, we're already dealing with, I can see and sense that you're struggling with this, like, I don't know if I can do that. That father had to forgive and release and ask God not to make that man pay for what he did to his daughter. And the truth of the matter is yes, we have to do that. We have to do that if we want to make heaven. We've got to release people and ask God not to make them pay. Because see, it's not about asking God to get someone else free. Don't misunderstand it. Don't get it wrong. Step two is not about you and I asking God to get somebody else free at all. It's about you getting free. It's about you getting chains broken off, right? We were singing earlier that song, Amazing Grace, My Chains Are Gone. The truth of the matter is we sing that song so many times and we are so bound we can barely get the height of the song out. It's really about you and I getting free. It's about you and I getting chains broken off. It's about you and I getting in the presence of God unhindered. Most of the time, we're not able to get out of church, out of people, out of all of our relationships because we are hindered. If we would learn the secret of what it is to, one, be forgiven, but then ask God to forgive others, meaning when you ask God, Lord, don't hold it against them, wipe it off the record, it's really about you being released in that moment. Don't get it twisted. Don't get it wrong. It is about you and I getting free in that moment. That is what severs the cord between you and them right then. It means you don't have to waste any more thought on it. It's not going to torment your mind. It's not going to consume you anymore. Because the moment you say, God, I just thank you that you're going to just really release that and wipe it off the record. Don't hold it against them. They could have stole everything from you. They could have done all of that stuff. I pulled in yesterday. I noticed all those pilots were going. I thought, where'd they go? I checked the camera. Sure enough, somebody stole them. I said, Lord, just don't hold it against them. You know? I mean, there was like 20-some pilots back there from our food distribution. They just wheeled up right after we all left. I mean, they were waiting. Took them. That's all right. Lord, don't hold it against them. It's important. Step three. I'm moving quickly, and I wanted to take my time and slow it down, but I got to get through these. Step three. This is really important. Forgive yourself. So many times we come to church, we'll even come to the altar, and we ask for forgiveness from God, and He forgives you and I right there. But oftentimes we get up from an altar, we leave church, and we never forgave ourselves. Because we are all messed up. We are all special. We've all done some things wrong. And that's one of the most important things about life that some of us need to learn, whether it's late in life or not, late in life or not. We need to learn to forgive ourselves. I always say this way, you and I need to give ourselves the grace to fail. I'm not saying fail on purpose. I'm saying that it's okay, you messed up. Okay, tomorrow's another day. You and I need to learn to give one another grace in our relationships to fail. We need to learn to give one another in church the grace to fail. Church should be the safest place in the world to fail. Meaning it don't matter what happened to you on Saturday night. It should be a safe place. I'm not saying do it with great intent. I'm saying it needs to be a safe place. You and I need to be able to operate and live and forgive ourselves. Because every week in churches here and sitting in other churches in our own city today, there are people who are sitting in our church, and you and I can all look down at our own hands today and realize what these hands have done that others don't know. And yet the enemy will bring it back to our minds. Sometimes family, friends will bring it back. I remember when, you know, families are good at reminiscing about good old times, but those good old times are not always good old times. They're bad memories. It's who you are working every day to run away from. Huh? I know. Not just running away from your name, your last name. You despise running into people from school. The people we used to run around with, right? Because you've worked so hard and come so far. we've got to be able to forgive ourselves. We've got to be able to say to God, Lord, for the resentment, and God, for the forgiveness I hold towards my own self. Lord, as of this day, today, right now, I release it to you and give it into your hands. Some of us have just had bad seasons in life, bad years. You need to forgive yourself. You haven't been able to move on because that's the one place you've got hung up on. You're still beating yourself up. There comes a point where I've learned that I have to stop apologizing. If I apologize, then I meant it and it was sincere. That's it. And that's where you're going to begin to move on and forgive yourself. Stop reliving it over and over and over again. Stop trying to make every day and make up for what you did wrong. God forgave you. You ask God then to not hold it against others. Now you need to forgive yourself, meaning it's time that you start waking up with a smile on your face, not beating ourselves up that we did it wrong, that we messed up in some way, that we hurt them, or how we acted, or the things that we did. Are you hearing me today? We've got to be able to wake up. God wants you to be able to wake up tomorrow and smile, take a breath, and enjoy the very breath, and notice the small things. Some of us aren't enjoying the beauty that's around us. You don't really even see the sky, the stars, the trees, the birds. You don't see the beauty in even the earth around you because you are so covered in a cloud of just doom and gloom, and you're working so hard to try to overcome who you used to be. But the truth of the word is that you may not be where you want to be, but you're certainly not who you used to be. Make that your theme. I may not be where I want to be, meaning I'm not walking in perfection yet. That includes me. But Lord, I'm certainly not who I used to be. And so when people pass judgment on you, you're going to come up, the enemy's going to put someone in your path to try to set you back. And you need to get that embedded in your spirit, put it on a post-it note, I don't care, tattoo it on your arm, whatever you got to do, and say, I may not be where I used to want to be, but I'm certainly not where I used to be. And just decree and declare that over yourself, right? That no devil in hell, nothing anyone says, does, posts about you, talks about you, whatever it is they do, is going to take you back to where you used to be. Don't give anyone that kind of power over you. We've come too far. Hallelujah. Step 4, last one I'm get to today, the most important. I'm for real about this one, and I haven't lost my mind either. This is for real. I've done counseling with people at times, and at times I've had them write down, you know, it's therapeutic. They'll write down their thoughts, feelings about a person, about a situation, and then we'll destroy it or whatever. So I've lit in fires or, you know, whatever, you know. Whatever it takes. And the reason that's important, because I take them to this last step. After they forgave themselves, after they've asked God to forgive them, after they've been forgiven, now it's time for you and I to forgive God. Forgive God. How many have ever gone through such hell and trauma in your life? And you and I, there's been times I grew up in church. You know, my dad was a preacher. My mom was a preacher. You know, the whole family, we all did church every week. There were times where you go through such pain and trauma, and then a preacher gets up, or dad or mom or someone, and they have the audacity to say, y'all better get on your feet and give God praise. He's done too many good things, and you're in the middle of hell. And you're sitting there like, you have no idea what you're even talking about, preacher. It's moments like that where I learned that you have to forgive God. Meaning we can sit in church and we love God, we love people. You're here, there's people that are watching online today. But if you and I would really take an inventory of our life right now, you've gone through something that you've asked God why. Or you've gone through something and it took you years to overcome it. To the degree that then you hear, like I said this morning, that all things work together for good to them that love the Lord. And you're saying, preacher, how is what I went through at all for my good? And so it sort of pricks you. It's just like, I don't like that. You're saying all that pain, all that trauma, all the things people did to me, it was for my good. It's hard to digest that, isn't it? It's kind of like when you and I were a child and your mother makes you take some foul medicine. She's like, oh, honey, but it's good for you. And you spit it back on her face. That's sort of what we do in church when things like that are said. We just spit it back on God. Like, nope, I don't want that. Nope, it's not all good for me. It hasn't all been good. See, there are people and there are times, and we go, this is the fourth step of forgiveness. And we often talk about forgiving one another, but we forget that in that equation is you and I forgiving God. Because there are people that need to say, I forgive and I release you, God. Don't get it twisted. It's not that God did anything wrong. He can't. He's incapable of doing anything wrong. But that doesn't mean that we don't get resentment towards God. Jesus said something to his disciples. Jesus said this. He said, you go tell John you're seeing the miracles and all these signs and wonders, and tell John, blessed is he who shall not be offended in me. In other words, you're going to see all these great things that I'm doing, but blessed is the man who doesn't get offended in it. Means that you and I can sit in church and we've gone through things in our life, and God wants to remind you and I, even while I'm sitting there, and I can be saying things today and maybe 1,000 flashes of memories come to you about things we've gone through in life, people who betrayed and hurt and wounded us, and things we've gone through, things we've done, right? And we could say, but God, if God is so good and God is so loving, and I've talked recently about how he's a good father, and you're saying, but if God is so good, how can he let this happen to me? I've had people ask me that many times. You talk about how good God is, and you all praise and worship God, and you jump around, and you dance, and you do all these things in church. But you tell me then, if God's so good, why did he let this happen to me? Why did he do that? It's an indication that you and I have to forgive and release him from resentment and unforgiveness. Maybe we prayed for 10 years and nothing moved. Maybe we prayed and it ended in tragedy anyway. Matthew 18, it's the last scripture I'll share. Matthew 18:34. Hallelujah. It says, and his Lord was wroth and delivered him to the tormentors till he should pay all that was due unto him. It's a story, and I'll paraphrase it, and that's why I only read that one verse. There was a man who owed a huge debt. In the 18th chapter of Matthew, and the Bible says it was over $1 million. And his master said, pay me what you owe me. And the man said, I don't have the money, but give me a little time. And the Bible said the man completely forgave the other man who owed over $1 million. Lord, I need a man like that. Come on, somebody. Lord Jesus. That same man who was just forgiven, then the Bible says, walked out to a fellow servant and tells the other servant, pay me what you owe me. I like that story, and because the first guy in it is like the night that you and I, the day you and I all came to the altar to ask God to forgive you. And God completely took it away. The servant then going to his fellow servant and saying, pay me what you owe me. It's like when you and I find a brother or someone in church that does you wrong, and you refuse to forgive them. you want forgiven, but then you refuse to forgive them. Come on, somebody. And we're good at that. When we talk about forgiveness, we'll say, Lord, I thank you, I'm forgiven. I'm washed in the blood of the Lamb. And we'll go to Texas Roadhouse, or we'll go to the family's home today. And we will cringe at the thought and the sight of them. See, God's saying he doesn't want you and I to be willing to receive something from him that we're not willing to graciously give to someone else. Don't be like the servant who was forgiven and then turns around and says, no, pay it now, but you pay me what you owe me. Don't expect something that you're not willing to give. The point of that scripture that I read to you in Matthew 18, it says that the Lord was wroth and he delivered him to the tormentors. I wanted to share that with you because when that servant refused to forgive others, the Bible says the master delivered him to the tormentors. And I believe that when you and I refuse to forgive others, that tormenting spirits are released against us. Matthew 18, 34 and 35. You wonder where your peace has been? You wonder where no matter what you and I experience in life, there's just not been joy in it. I watch people, they'll change from a career to career. We'll bounce from home to home. We'll bounce from relationship to relationship, and there's just nothing. I'm telling you, it goes back to the very first scripture that if you and I, would, or when we said, a merry heart doth good like a medicine, but a broken spirit drieth up the bones. If we don't deal with those wounds that we're just carrying with us, it just eats away at us. It torments us. That next verse of that scripture in Matthew 18, 35, and we'll close with this. Mom, you should be coming up here and playing for me. It ends after it says that. It says, so likewise shall my heavenly Father do also unto you. If from your hearts forgive not everyone his brother their trespasses. Notice it doesn't say forgive him from your mouth. Forgive him from your head. He says, and likewise when you forgive others, your heavenly Father will also forgive you. He wants you and I to forgive him from our heart. There's more I can't get into today, but we'll leave it at that. Hallelujah. Being healed from a wounded spirit. Forgive. Right? We're going to forgive others. We're going to ask God not to hold it against them. We're going to forgive God, and we're going to forgive ourselves. And I promise you, if you will walk through those, and it'll take some time. It's not that it happens just like this. It can happen like this, in a moment just like this. We can just say, God, I'm done with carrying this around. I'm done with allowing it to control my life. Where you and I can literally be changed, and you'll see everything different. You'll leave and not carry the weight of it with you anymore. Let's stand this morning as we prepare to close. And we're gonna close, and I believe we're just gonna pray and cry out to the Lord together today. These steps together, because there's some of us that we need God. Maybe we can only begin with step one, and that's all we're ever gonna get to today. That's all right, because you're beginning the journey, and then you'll move on to step two on your own, and then three, and by the time you forgive God, then you'll be able to forgive yourself. And by the next time, the next week rolls around, you'll be different. You'll be new, and you'll be able to walk in and see people today that sometimes trigger you or sometimes disappoint you or upset you or wound you over and over and over again. Instead of seeing them and seeing what they did, once you've forgiven them, then you're able to see them the way he sees them. You'll know you're forgiven when you can look at those people and it doesn't affect you anymore. doesn't mean you're going to let them ever do it to you again. It just means that you look at them and you're able to see them the way that God sees them. Meaning you're able to look at them and see, feel sorry, feel sad, have a desire and want to be able to them to get and have what you have, you know, that peace, that joy. Hallelujah. So we're going to pray, and I want to pray for you, with you, that you can be healed of your wounded spirit, that God will begin that process in you now. I'm going to pray for you, but I want you to pray and ask God to help you today with these steps. And then when we're done praying on our way out today, we're going to give our tithes and offerings. If you have them to give, you can give them here. And those of you that are online, you can give online. But let's focus on the most important right now, and that is, Father, heal us. So let's pray. Father, I thank you today for your word. I thank you, Lord, today for the power that is in the name of Jesus. I thank you, Lord, today for your word that is powerful and it's mighty. And God, I thank you today that you are going to help us through your word. God, I pray that, Lord, as I've given your word today, and there are people that are wounded, there are people who have been through trauma, there's people that have been through abuse, there's people that have been through experiences that some of us could never even imagine. And God, it's affected us. And Lord, I pray that, Lord, today that you would begin a work in us. And so, Father, we just surrender to you. Father, we just declare and decree and call out to you today. Lord, as we forgive and we release people who have done us wrong. God, as we release people and circumstances and things that, Lord, at times have felt unfair, that, God, at times we felt we've never been heard. God, it could have happened 50 years ago or 30 years ago, or maybe it happened yesterday. But, Father, today we forgive them, and, Lord, we release them. God, we release all the pain, all the resentment, all the hurt, God, all of it into your hands right now in the name of Jesus. Father, I pray that you would just empower your people, God, to just have the boldness and the faith to declare and decree that every day until, Lord, they, like me, felt your hand literally reach in and take it. That, Lord, they won't allow the things they've been through to control them anymore. In the name of Jesus, I thank you that, God, you're going to progress us to step two, and that, Lord, you're going to have us to cause that pray that, Lord, you won't hold it against them. Father, there's some people that are there now, and they're just able to pray, Father, I thank you that you're not going to hold what they did to me against them. That, Lord, we're not sit waiting for you to get vengeance on them, but, God, we're just saying forgive them. God, the same way that you wiped us clean of our sins and transgressions and things that we've done wrong, wipe theirs. Don't make them pay, God. Lord, we don't want to see them in the news. God, we don't want to see their name in the paper. Lord, we don't want to, that side of us, Lord, we don't want to see that, oh God. So, Lord, forgive it and don't make them pay. And then, Lord, help us, Lord, to just to get to the place where we can forgive ourselves. Father, today we can just let it go. That, Lord, we're not going to carry around. We're not going to beat ourselves down every day and work hard to make up for the things that we've done wrong, the things we've said, the people we've disappointed. And Father, we release it to you. Make us new. And then, Father, we forgive you. For times we felt alone and abandoned and wondered why. And yet we've even tried to worship you out of our own resentment and pain. God, would you bring healing to us right now? Father, I pray for the power of your Holy Spirit to just do what only you can do in this moment right now in the name of Jesus. Come and touch our hearts, touch our lives, get into the deepest part of our soul right now in the name of Jesus. We come against every root of fear. We come against every root of bitterness, every root of resentment. God, every area where we need healing in the name of Jesus. And I thank you that, Lord, you bring wholeness to our lives where there's nothing missing, lacking, or broken in the name of Jesus. That, Father, we become and we are, according to your word, a new creation in Christ. And so, Father, I pray that you would do a deep and total and rich work in our lives in the name of Jesus today. Make us brand new. And we thank you for it, God. We praise you for it. Now, Lord, I thank you that, Lord, as we go about our week, we may be tested on these, but, Lord, we will overcome. Your word says that we overcome by the blood of the Lamb and the word of our testimony. And so, Father, I pray that we will overcome. I thank you that, Lord, we leave this place today forgiven. We leave this place forgiving others. We leave this place forgiving you, God, and forgiving ourselves. We're going home different. We're not going home burdened. We're not going home beaten up for what we've done and how we've messed up and disappointed others. But that, God, we've been forgiven. We're covered. And so, Father, I just thank you today that you're doing a deep healing in our lives in the name of Jesus. Now, Father, touch us throughout the week. Bless us. Minister to us. Keep us close to you. Father, as we leave this place and we log off the internet, bless people who are able to give today. Multiply, bring increase to this house as we continue to just not just preach the word and do what we do here at the church, but God, to reach our community. I thank you. I praise you for all of it. God, we bless you. Lord, we thank you. We love you. In Jesus, your powerful name. Come on, amen. Amen. Hey, have a great week, everybody. God bless you. In Jesus, amen. Hallelujah.